is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
All right, today we are diving into the schedules a little bit. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today on Thursday, June 8th. Hey, what if your quarterback was playing at the Giants in Week 14, at Oakland in Week 15, and then home against Seattle on Week 16? Would that scare you a little bit?
It would.
Yeah,
that is not exactly a cakewalk.
No.
That's for sure. Although, at Oakland, you said?
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, it would be worse if they were on the East Coast. But this is Dallas. That would be the Cowboys' fantasy playoff schedule, at the Giants, at Oakland, home against Seattle. Dave has really been diving into the schedule. Dave is like in a weird freaking mood today. What is happening, Dave Richard?
Well, I'm actually, I've cooled off from this morning when I decided to get crazy with the Cheese Whiz.
With the Cheese Whiz.
And have an iced coffee.
Oh.
And the sugar rush that followed had me quite loopy. And then jittery. And then I was wondering what the hell was wrong with me. And I couldn't concentrate on anything. And I felt really sad. And then I ate lunch and I started to feel a lot better.
Good.
Been chugging water since the coffee issue. I've been to the bathroom frequently, for those who care about such things.
Okay, so
volunteer
Jamie,
that information. But I'm good to go now, Adam. Right, I'm good to go.
Jamie's here. Welcome back, Jamie. We missed you on Tuesday.
Thanks, buddy. I missed you too.
Good. Thank you.
I meant Dave. I didn't miss you.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't really miss
you. You, by the way, Mr. Mush.
Yeah, I know.
Did you lose?
Not yet, but I mean, you want to talk about like the dumbest mush in the history of mushes. Not only does he mush our fantasy team, he mushes us the week that we have to play Heath. So Heath, thankfully, is respectful of me and hasn't really talked trash to me. Part of it is because I haven't seen Heath all week. But
so you've been ducking Heath.
He's been crushing Adam. He changed his fantasy team name to 18 No Mo.
18 and 0 No Mo. Yeah, no, I do apologize. I didn't realize we were playing Heath. So we're going to start the show with a breakout alert. We're going to talk about Eric Decker.
By the way, you're a putz.
Also, raisins and soup. Can we get to that at some point?
Yeah, we can get to raisins a little bit.
We'll
be raising the roof a little bit later. But Eric Decker no longer going to be on the Jets. Dennis Pitta officially waived. We got an interesting quote from Steve Sarkisian, the Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator, talking about Julio Jones in the red zone. Cool note on Marcus Mariota that makes him my new favorite player. Sorry, Titans fans. Let's start, though, with a breakout alert. And then we'll get to the schedule stuff, by the way, and your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right, breakout alert for Derek Carr. This one, honestly, like, forget about the statistical analysis. I'm not going to get that clever with it. I could tell you that he played 15 games. If he had kept his average into the 16th game, he would have finished as the number 7 quarterback in fantasy. Of course, that game was against the Broncos, so I don't know that he would have. It just seems like the right time for Derek Carr to have a huge year. He threw only 6 interceptions to 28 touchdowns last year, and it makes sense. And everybody wants to know, like, yeah, great, wait on a quarterback, but you want to get that quarterback that performs like Matt Ryan did last year. Could that be, maybe not to that level, but could that be Derek Carr this year? What are your chances? What chances are you giving Carr for a breakout?
Look, he's fallen just short of 4,000 yards each of the last two seasons. Last year, he would have gotten there unless you're telling me that he wouldn't have had 63 yards against Denver in the last game of the season.
It might not have, given his performances against the AFC West.
63 yards he can get. I'm not saying I'm going to start him, and I'll get to that point a little bit later. Completion percentage up last year. Yards per attempt was even from 2015 to 2016 at a cool 7.0. Always has had a good touchdown to interception ratio. Wish he scored a little more on the ground, but when he's got all these weapons around him, like Michael Crabtree and Seth Roberts and Michael Crabtree, he doesn't need to run for touchdowns. He can just throw for him. He's a very good quarterback with a very bad track record against division opponents. And that might be the thing that scares people off of drafting him. 17 career games against the AFC West, only 23 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, a 57.7 completion percentage, 5.7 yards per pass attempt against the AFC West in 17 games.
Wow.
Way below his average over his career, which means he's better against everybody but the AFC West. And I'm here to tell you, I've studied these defenses for the past 2 weeks. this is a very good division. The Raiders have the worst defense in the division, and it's still pretty good.
How's he played 17 games against his division?
Because he's been in the league for 3 years. He's missed a couple along the way.
And this is his third year? This is his fourth year?
He just finished his third year. He's going into his fourth year. So I think there's going to be room for him to have some good games against Kansas City and Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego. Denver's going to be a big issue. I like him a lot. I think over the course of the year, he will finish as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, but there will be lumps along the way. I do think he's a breakout.
I think the one thing that cannot go hand in hand is Marshawn Lynch being great and Derek Carr being great.
I agree.
I don't think that Carr can have an exponentially better season than where he's been if Marshawn Lynch is that much better than Latavius Murray.
Okay.
Because he could score 12 touchdowns like Murray did last year. I don't think that's a huge stretch.
Sure.
But if Lynch has 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards, that type of season where that offensive line is great and he turns back the clock and looks like the guy in Seattle prior to retiring and all the
bad 2015 the down, injury play
down
2015
season. I just don't see this offense being that explosive because
no?
I don't think it's Jack Del Rio's personality. I don't think that's how they want to play. And I don't see Derek Carr being a 40 plus pass attempt guy week in, week out if Marshawn Lynch is running the ball at a high level. Now, I don't think Lynch is going to have a great season because he's old and coming off retirement and all those things. So I think Carr's good. I just don't know how much higher of a ceiling that he has given some of the pitfalls, most notably his performances against his own division.
Okay. Yeah, and also another strike against Derek Carr in his first 8 games. And I'm going to take out – I look at the Tampa Bay game. That went to overtime, very long game. I took out 15 passes that he threw in overtime at Tampa Bay, so just the regulation attempts. First 8 games of the season, he threw 38.5 pass attempts per game. That's a lot. Latavius Murray missed 2 of those games, but still, 8 games, 38.5. Last 7 games of the year, only 34 pass attempts, and they did start running the ball. They did start committing a little bit more to Latavius Murray. So, yeah, to what you were saying, Jamie, maybe they want to be more of a smash-mouth team, and he won't get the pass attempts that that you'd like to see.
But and conversely, though, they gave him 2 additional weapons. One is significant in Jared Cook. However you want to think about Jared Cook, it's he should be the best tight end that he's played with. And then the other one is just a guy that could, you know, play or two here or there if they do use him more as a receiver is Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, so if that's a field stretcher for him, you know, to add to Cooper and add to Crabtree and to Seth Roberts, that's a plus in his on his side as well. So, I mean, there are things to like about Carr. It's just, again, factoring the whole thing with this team.
Yeah. And the factor with Lynch is obvious in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now,
but that's the same
and
as
last
as
year. He had Latavius for 12 touchdowns, and he worked around that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. No, I think it's less of a statistical argument for a Carr breakout and more of just he broke out to a degree last year, and he was in the MVP running, you know, and he was having an amazing season. And so maybe he just takes another step and fully gets there. And I think all of us would be happy to have him with a 12-team league round 8 or later pick?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, great. News and notes. What is, as of 2:30 p.m. Eastern on June 8th, what is Eric Decker's official status? In limbo?
I believe he is in limbo because he hasn't officially been released by the Jets.
They said they were going to either try and trade him, which is not going to happen because nobody's taking his contract at $14.75 million over the next 2 years for a guy that's 30 coming off of shoulder and hip surgery. But someone's going to sign him.
Well, why don't I make you a general manager? Why don't I make you Ozzie Newsome of the Baltimore Ravens? Who are you going to sign, Jeremy Maclin or Eric Decker? Same price. Don't say, how much are they going to cost? Same price, Decker or Maclin?
I would take Maclin if it's the same price because he's a year younger. And he's a better fit for what that team needs because you're talking about a guy that can definitely play in the slot, has a track record playing in the slot. Decker can too, but you have two on paper, two physical outside guys. One's already over 30 in Mike Wallace. So I would take the younger of the two.
Dave, Mr. Newsome?
I agree. I wouldn't take Decker over Maclin.
Okay.
I know Macklin's the one that's had, they both have had injuries. They're both kind of over the hill. I just think there's a little more that Maclin can give you rather than Decker.
And the thing about Maclin is, you know, we say that he was terrible last year, which on paper he was. He had four games that he missed with a groin injury. Who knows how many of those that he played that he was hurt, because he's that type of guy. And I don't know the extent of what this was, but just reading stuff over the last few days, he apparently had either a death in the family or a death close to the family that really impacted him. And so you have to know, we have to wonder what his psyche was at with just playing hurt, being hurt, dealing with that, you know, potential emotional stress. I think he could be motivated by this situation, because he's apparently very sought after. I think I counted six teams that have either mentioned that they were interested in him just based on the stuff I read, or that he's, you know, including visits, because he went to Buffalo. He's at some point headed to Baltimore.
I believe he's there already.
Cleveland, Philadelphia. I think
Philadelphia's out on Macklin.
Okay. So, at least when he was cut, you know, there was a lot of interest for him around the NFL.
I'd actually like it best if he went to Buffalo.
Oh, I would love Baltimore. Love Baltimore.
I think he'll get more targets in Buffalo.
I mean, he certainly could, but I like the quarterback situation just from a receiver standpoint. Tyrod Taylor's a better fantasy quarterback. Joe Flacco's a better passing quarterback. And I think the situation is, we have not seen Breshad Perriman be healthy and play well for 16 games. I know you like him. I like him too. I think there's a lot of upside for him, but there's a track record of him not being on the field and staying healthy on the field. And then Mike Wallace, another guy that is living and dying on his speed. As he gets older, he's over 30 now. If his speed goes, Macklin could easily be the number one receiver there, especially with the Dennis Pitta injury. So I like his situation much better in Baltimore.
But in Buffalo, we could say the exact same thing about injuries and staying healthy with Sammy Watkins, as we just did with Breshad Perriman.
To me, in Buffalo, he'd feel more like an improved Robert Woods.
And what would he be in Baltimore? He'd be an improved Anquan.
He would be.
A couple of years ago.
I would take that over Robert Woods.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think he'd be an upgrade in both places. But I think the opportunity for fantasy would be bigger in Buffalo.
Yeah, I would disagree. I would say Baltimore.
Oh, let's go over to the Jets now. Would you rather have Quincy Enunwa as of right now, Quincy Enunwa or Pierre Garçon?
I think I'm going to take everybody ahead of Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah, I think I'm obviously a little bit more excited about Pierre Garçon and his situation as the number one guy for Kyle Shanahan, but Enunwa is going to see a ton of targets. He's going to be one of those garbage time receivers that you'll end up being afraid to start, but by the end of the season, you'll see him probably close to the top 30, if not inside the top 30. We talked about this with Mike Wallace and the receivers that have gotten over 120 targets, at least last year. There were 19 of the 24 receivers that got, I'm going to phrase it the wrong way. There were 19 receivers that had over 120 targets that got into the top 24. He's going to be over 120 targets. So that's put him in the conversation of, at the end of the year, being in the top 24. There were 22 guys that had over 120 targets. Three did not finish in the top 24. They were Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Brandon Marshall. Now, you could say Marshall and Enunwa, same thing, same situation, same team, but I think Marshall was kind of at the end of his rope with the Jets, whereas Enunwa is going to just get target after target after target, and it's going to lead to him having good production.
Who's his quarterback again?
Josh McCown.
And then when he gets hurt, who's his quarterback?
Colin Kaepernick, hopefully.
Well, that would be something. But it's not.
I don't
right
think it
now.
Matters, to be honest with you. It's just
I'll tell you what scares me more than the quarterback situation.
We saw Robbie Anderson put up good numbers last year with that crappy quarterback situation.
He did. And I don't know if Enunwa can do what Robbie Anderson can do.
No, but he'll be better.
Goes. He'll be like speedier.
No, he doesn't have to be fast. Fast receiver just, sometimes.
You're counting on that volume.
Yes.
I am scared to death of the type of coverage he's going to end up getting, because defenses when
not in the fourth quarter when they give up.
You think they're just not going to care?
We see it all the time. See it all the time.
All right, but if you expect them to have a bottom 10 pass defense, which we probably a pass offense, which we probably do, right?
For sure.
Let me tell you, and this is not an eliminator here. Let me tell you how many wide receivers over the last 2 years finished in the top 24 on a team that had a bottom 10 pass
offense. Just to qualify, not to interrupt yet, I'm not expecting him to be a top 24 guy. I'm not ranking him that way. But just based on the numbers of guys that get that many targets, he has the chance to be there.
Yeah,
Adam,
he does.
What have you got?
Four did it in 2016. Three did it in 2015. However, if you want to go to the top 25, it just so happens that in both seasons, the number 25 wide receiver was on a bottom 10 passing offense. So in 2015, it was Watkins, Macklin, James Jones. The Packers were somehow a bottom 10 pass offense based on yards, and Tavon Austin. And last year, it was Rishard Matthews, Jarvis Landry, Dez Bryant, and Kenny Britt.
Not in the top 10?
I miscounted. It was three each year in the top 24, four each year in the top 25. What was your question, Jamie?
The Browns were outside of the bottom 10?
I don't. Did I miss Terrell Pryor?
You may have just because he's listed on Washington on a lot of sites.
I may have. I don't know. Yeah, I did. Okay, you're right. Thank you. I knew I was going to forget somebody. It was a bit of a challenging exercise doing it all by memory. The Browns were the, fifth worst pass offense. Okay, so let's say 4 or 5 can finish in the top 25. And, okay, so that means it's possible, certainly.
I just think he's in the conversation with Garcon's fair. Cameron Meredith, same type of situation. Going to get a lot of targets. Bad quarterback situation. The two guys in Baltimore, Mike Wallace and Breshad Perriman, you know, they're kind of not necessarily great teams with, you know, obviously Joe Flacco is better than anybody the Jets have, but, you know, Anunua last season was not bad, given the fact that he really was the third receiver to open the season, ended up being the second guy when Decker got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to targets, you know, and what you buy into with guys that are going to get a lot of work. And so, you know, the week-to-week production could be ugly, but there could be some very big games when they're down 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. Who knows how bad this team can actually be?
I totally get the logic. He had 106 targets last year, caught 58 of them, 54.7%. He makes me nervous. I like every other receiver you just named, I like better than Quincy Anunua.
And that's fine. It's
like
just,
I'm looking at, he's a dart throw in the late rounds for me.
But I would say he's the same as those other guys. I mean, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. How is what he did last year worse than Breshad Perriman's situation?
I don't think there's any comparison. You saw Anunua play most of the season, whereas Perriman really didn't get a chance to get moving until late in the year.
Right.
You want to compare the games when Perriman was on versus whatever Anunua did those weeks?
Sure.
I think Perriman was better. I mean,
statistically,
I can't name it
off
the,
well, he had touchdowns.
I don't know it off the top of my head. Maybe
I mean,
he was.
Perriman played 13 games.
Yeah, but how many of those games did he only have like one or two targets? Like, it seems to me that Perriman
had 66 for the season.
He had a lot of.
I feel like he came on strong.
And a better quarterback.
He did have a better quarterback.
Well, that's Dave's argument.
Oh, again, I get it. I certainly get it.
I don't think Quincy Anunua has potential to be a top 24 receiver like Breshad Perriman does.
I disagree.
Which is crazy to say.
I disagree. I think just target volume is going to help him dramatically. Whereas Perriman may still be, we'll see how this all shakes out, may still be the third most targeted player on his team.
Okay.
Behind Wallace and behind Danny Woodhead.
Anunua led the Jets in receiving despite having 22 fewer targets than Marshall last year. But are we sort of forgetting one important factor here? Like, Breshad Perriman was a first-round pick in the NFL draft. He does have pedigree.
Perryman's got certainly the better chance to break out, but Anunua's situation makes him just as enticing given the amount of targets he's going to see. It could be very ugly for all the Jets, but at the same time, think about the Jaguars 2 years ago. He could be Allen Hurns.
Okay.
That type of player.
That's a lot of Jets talk. And just answer this real quick. Is Robbie Anderson relevant in a 14-team league?
Yes. Along with our Darius Stewart now.
And answer this, because I think Bilal Powell might benefit from this. I mean, they're going to be terrible. And
who I like.
He's their pass-catching guy. I'm starting to really dig Bilal Powell. I was going to make him the breakout alert. But I didn't. I went with Derek Carr.
I think the one thing with Powell is you just can't overlook what Matt Forte's role could still be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's
and he's not getting cut because it would just cost the Jets too much against the cap. They're just going to pay him.
All right. Mike Williams is out until training camp. DeMarco Murray had a hand procedure on a minor injury. He'll be fine for camp. Baltimore waived Dennis Pitta after the hip dislocation. We talked about that situation on Tuesday's show. Falcons offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian says he wants to get Julio Jones more involved in the red zone. Jones had 9 red zone targets last season, according to Pro Football Reference. That was 6th on the team behind Devontae Freeman, Mohamed Sanu, Tevin Coleman, Jacob Tammy, and Justin Hardy. And then, that Julio Jones guy with 9 red zone targets. Granted, it was pretty bunchy. But still, and Matt Ryan was one of 4 quarterbacks with 100 or more pass attempts in the red zone. But that's encouraging. I mean, it's just coach speak at this point. But if we can get Julio Jones to get double-digit touchdowns, then he's got a great chance to be the number one receiver in fantasy.
Yes.
Yeah, not much analysis needed there. Just know that the new offensive coordinator said we want to get him more involved.
With the Dennis Pitta thing, Crockett Gilmore left practice early today. With an injury as well.
Is Ben Watson or any Ravens tight ends like in your top 20?
No.
By training camp, Ben Watson, maybe.
Is he a possible bye week tight end? Or not a bye week, but a streaming? Yep. He's at Cincinnati in week one. Cleveland at home, week two. At Jacksonville.
You keep saying Cleveland.
Three.
Cleveland's going to be much better defensively, especially against tight ends with their linebacker.
Cleveland, come on. Week two.
Like Cleveland, like we got excited about Cleveland's offense last year because they had some pieces, and then they were terrible.
Offense?
Yeah, their whole team
I'm talking about their defense defending tight ends.
But their defense stinks every year. I actually think the Bengals were bad against tight ends last year, if I remember correctly.
They were. Right? And they will be again.
Yeah. Well, they have Jamie Collins. Is that your reasoning for thinking they'll be better against tight ends?
Yeah. Among them.
Makes sense. Okay, the Saints canceled their Wednesday OTAs to go on a scavenger hunt. Have you guys ever been on a scavenger hunt?
Yeah.
Yep.
I've planned a scavenger hunt.
Really? How'd that go?
It was fun. It was when I was in a fraternity in college, and I made our pledges go through it.
And what was the prize? Getting in the fraternity?
No. I think the prize was buying me alcohol.
Oh, speaking of which, Marcus Mariota reveals he has never had a sip of alcohol. Favorite player. Booyah.
Why is he your favorite player?
Because while I have had sips of alcohol, I am repulsed by the taste of it, and I never want to have another sip of alcohol in my life, and I've had very few to begin with.
So he's your favorite player just because you've got something in common with him?
Correct. A lot in common.
So, I mean, we can find a player that's got curly hair. Is he going to be your favorite player?
I don't have curly hair. Do I?
How would you describe your hair?
Wavy. Froey.
Froey.
I could lose a finger in that thing.
And cool read.
How sure are you going with your hair for the wedding?
2 weeks out, I'm getting a haircut. So
eyebrows too?
Quick update. Thanks for asking. Quick update on the wedding. Officially 1 month away from the wedding, and RSVPs are due today. And most people have RSVP'd, but two people did not send their RSVPs back, and you are listening to both of them on the podcast today. So I thank you guys very much.
But I told you I'm coming.
Yeah,
and I lost mine.
Send it back. Come on. It's polite.
You want me to still send it back?
That's all right.
I'm going to send mine like 2 years from now.
Great. Thank you. Pete Prisco's top 100 players are out on CBSSports.com. Tom Brady is not number one. Find out who is. It's a good read. Dave broke down the schedules. Here we go. What's the most important thing you want people to know when you look at 2017 scheduling?
The most important thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's one specific thing that everybody needs to know. I put a lot of time into this, studied a lot of defense over the course of the past couple of weeks to get this done, even picked a couple of brains along the way. I think we're at a point in the NFL where there are a lot of very good run defenses, but not necessarily as many good pass rushes or secondaries. I feel like we've got some pretty good bulk as far as linebackers and defensive tackles go and safeties, you know, right up the middle of the defense. I think a lot of teams are good there. And I especially think that a couple teams that weren't good against the run last year are going to bounce back in a big way. I'll give you an example. I think the 49ers, with the talent that they've accrued both in the draft this year and last year, and with guys coming back from injury, I think they could be back to being very good against the run and being a problem for a lot of running backs, including those in their division.
Really?
I think the same thing about Jacksonville, too.
Really? Because are they going to cut Navarro Bowman? That was the rumor. And
Well, if they do that, then I think that would hurt them.
Yeah.
Might hurt them if he stays, if he's playing as poorly as he looks.
Right. Well, is it based on what he's doing in OTAs?
And
his
long-term
slowness, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be quite an indictment on him, but I still love their defensive line. I love Solomon Thomas and DeForest Buckner working together.
And Dumervil's a good ad.
Yeah, he's good for their pass rush.
But they had the worst. They had one of the worst rush defenses we've seen in years last season.
Right.
I mean, I gotta see.
They lost a lot of guys.
I gotta see it to believe it. You know. So let's check out San Francisco's first game, because I'm not shying away from whatever running back they're facing, and that would be Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart in Week 1.
I almost wonder if they're tanking-ish.
The Niners are?
Yeah, because...
I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting them to win more than five games.
If they can't get their hands on Cousins, it would make sense to be in the mix for one of the top three quarterbacks next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just ask the Jets. I already asked my brother how much... He's a big Jets fan. How much USC football he's going to be watching this year to do some early scouting.
They'll be watching Wyoming football, too.
UCLA?
He's not going to do that. Maybe you say, yeah, Pac-12. He'll stick at the Pac-12.
And at least they've already made the change with their front office and coaching staff. Jets haven't done that yet, which is right. Not a good look for them.
All right, I'm sorry to cut you off on the schedule stuff. So best schedules, worst schedules, who are you higher on in fantasy, lower on in fantasy after all your analysis? And by the way, we're going to touch on it today, but you can read about it in depth on CBSSports.com.
In a couple of weeks, it'll be up there. I think we're saving it for when we launch the new fantasy football game on CBSSports.com. Could be about 2 weeks from now. Best five schedules. For me, number one is Minnesota. I think that they've got it pretty easy. Love the fact that five of their first seven games are at home.
Can I ask a question
before
you go? They play
the Bears twice. They play the Lions twice.
Going to Minnesota. Did you go back at all in any point, like over the last few years, and see like how much the schedule you thought going in,
sure,
played out at the end of the season the way you expected?
There's always going to be teams that surprise you, and there's always going to be teams that disappoint you. That's just the nature of football.
No,
that's
I know, but I mean, I know.
Like, I thought Dallas's defense was going to be a major problem last year, and they turned out to be all right, in part because they were controlling games with Zeke, and Dak wasn't causing many problems either. So, like, that's an example. Stuff happens. I'm not saying that this is a lock that's going to happen.
I know. I'm just curious, like, if you have any, like, the con side of buying into the schedule.
I would say that you should use all of the following information as tiebreakers and not, okay, the number one reason why I'm going to draft Dalvin Cook is because of his schedule. If you're like us and we're not in consensus on Dalvin Cook versus Joe Mixon, maybe this is the reason why. Although I'll tell you that Cincinnati has just as favorable of a schedule as Minnesota does. I just like Minnesota's a little bit better. Carolina's number two. They actually have the easiest passing schedule. And we've already drawn the conclusion that they're going to try a lot more quick area tossing with the guys that they drafted in the first two rounds. And obviously they still have Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin. Those guys should benefit from what should be a good schedule. Cincinnati 3, Atlanta 4. They also have a very good passing schedule. They also play 13 games on turf. That's very good for Devontae Freeman. And I've got Tampa Bay 5th. And as you can tell, three of the five teams in the best five schedules, all in the NFC South. They play the NFC North. They play the AFC East. That means they're playing the Jets once. They're all playing the Saints twice. They've got, you know, Bears once, the Lions once. I think those defenses are going to struggle. And that's why I think that they're all going to be pretty favorable for their players.
Okay, I'm going to read the names again. The best five schedules, the Vikings, the Panthers, Bengals, Falcons, and Buccaneers. Minnesota, Carolina, Cincinnati, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. Okay, so I know Devontae Freeman was someone that really stood out to you. You've liked Dalvin Cook since he got drafted, and this only helps reinforce that. Anything else?
Don't be afraid to draft Jameis Winston or any of those other guys. I mean, do it within reason. I'm not saying, you know, run up and get Winston in round four or DeSean Jackson in round six, but those guys should have a chance. I think Jameis is going to throw a ton. And if Andrew Luck, for whatever reason, is still not 100% when training camp is in full swing in Indiana, I think Winston might be able to jump him. Matt Ryan might be able to jump him too in the rankings. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds, because Luck's been so good and he's got a tough schedule himself, but I think he's going to end up throwing a lot. And if his arm isn't ready and if he's not ready and if there's concerns about him being 100% for week one, I think his fantasy draft stock could take a little bit of a tumble.
God, I hope so, because that's going to be great for anybody that buys in the Luck.
Do you, if you do it, though, I almost feel like you have to take a second quarterback. Whereas if Luck's healthy and ready to go, no one's taking a backup.
Not at the start of training camp. At the end of training camp, yes. At the start of training camp, if that's what's happening, please let it happen in every draft I'm in.
I figure it's got to be like halfway through August before I even get nervous about Luck. I'm thinking he's got to miss like all of training camp for me to get a little grossed out by Andrew Luck.
Okay, well, that brings us to our five worst schedules. with the Colts having the fifth worst schedule, counting backwards, Indianapolis, San Francisco, Kansas City, Dallas, and Washington. So Indianapolis, San Francisco, Kansas City, Dallas, and Washington, your five worst schedules according to Dave, and a bonus bad schedule, the Giants, who are playing four games against teams coming off a bye this upcoming season, and they've got some travel too. They do have kind of, they got kind of a bad draw. So
yeah, remember how much of a stink I made about Philadelphia last year?
Mm-hmm.
It's worse for the Giants this year. Philadelphia had three games against teams coming off of a bye. They were all in a row. That didn't help them at all. And now the Giants have four, including, I think technically they have three games in a row against teams coming off of a bye, but there's a bye for themselves in between that mix. In week six and week seven, they play at Denver and then versus Seattle.
Yeah.
The Broncos are coming off a bye at home, and the Seahawks are coming into New Jersey rested. So I think that they kind of, I think they definitely got the short end of the proverbial stick, but you know how good that, this is a perfect example of why the schedule analysis shouldn't be taken super seriously, because I'm still drafting Odell Beckham. I'm still drafting Ezekiel Elliott. I don't care that they've got tough matchups along the way. But this might make me do a double take on Brandon Marshall. It might make me do a double take on Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff like that. Like Prescott, you want to draft him, that's fine, but maybe get a second quarterback just in case their schedule is just too overwhelming for them.
Well, it's a tough start for Dak Prescott. We'll just stick with that because you have Dak and the Cowboys with the second hardest schedule, only better than the Redskins. And this is how they start.
It's tough.
Giants week one at home always. And he scored 10 fantasy points and 8 fantasy points in two games against the Giants last year. Now, one of them was his first ever game, but then later in the season, 8 fantasy points at Denver, at Arizona. That's brutal. And then the Rams at home, and the Rams, they got their new defensive coordinator. They got Wade Phillips. Will Brinson wrote a great story about Wade Phillips taking over year one of a defense and how much better he has made defenses almost every single stop. And that's a long career. And the Rams are a great DST, I think. He's just going to do wonders there. So it's the Giants at home, at Denver, at Arizona, home against the Rams. And then the Packers, that could be good. And then a bye. So, like, that, you know, that's tough for Prescott. That's really tough.
And I'll tell you what, it's not going to be easy for Zeke either. Just saying. It's not going to be that great for Ezekiel Elliott, but he's still going to get the volume.
He's matchup proof. You remember he goes into Green Bay. Green Bay had this amazing run defense, right, this year. And
he shredded them. That was one of the things, about, like, Jamie's point about looking back on the schedule analysis. Last year, I named three tough games for the Broncos running offense that they were going to face. And I think Pittsburgh was one. I think the Giants was one. I think the Packers were one. He might have faced all three in a row. And he dominated all three.
Yeah, he's matchup.
So, like, this shouldn't affect your thinking on the star players in the NFL at all.
Okay. Jamie, what do you think about any of this Dak Prescott schedule? Detroit has Arizona in week one at the Giants. Atlanta in week three, at Minnesota, and then Carolina, and then at New Orleans, and then a bye. So we identified Detroit actually on Tuesday, and Amir Abdullah in particular having very tough matchups to start the season. Arizona at the Giants, Atlanta at Minnesota, Carolina at New Orleans, and then a bye. Anything you want to talk about here with tough matchups?
Week one, I think, is always tough to say. It's overwhelming either way because teams spend so much time preparing for it. Like Andy Reid yesterday said, they've already been working on their AFC West opponents now in OTAs. So teams start looking ahead to that week one game to try and make a good first impression. Think about what we said about the Cardinals last year coming out of the gate against Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
How great did he play?
Yeah, he played well. The Patriots
don't count. It's hard to say week one. I don't necessarily look at that as a good barometer. I only look really at the first four games. Because after that, there's so many different injuries that play a role. Offenses facing those defenses and the players that they have. So that's as far out as I look in terms of schedule.
Remember when Ken Wisenhunt's Titans beat the Chiefs in week one, and then I don't think they won another game?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right about week one, but there's still I still feel like in some instances you can tell when a defense is going to be not so good versus good. They do get a lot of time to prepare for that first game.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Dave? I mean, this is really interesting stuff. And
Indianapolis might have the toughest run schedule, which is bad for Frank Gore, and it's good for Andrew Luck, assuming he's healthy. I think that's a team that could throw a ton this year. I wouldn't shy away from any Colts players, provided Luck's health. And Jamie's favorite running back, Carlos Hyde, with the San Francisco 49ers. Let's just say that it's a close battle in training camp between Hyde and Joe Williams. Here's the prize that the starting running back of the San Francisco 49ers
Hyde will be a
gets.
Starter.
Carolina in week one, at Seattle week two, the Rams on a short week, week three, at Arizona in week four.
Yeah, but we know week one for the 49ers is always their best week.
Only if they have a home.
Only when they play the Rams.
Only if they have a home Monday night game.
Minnesota too.
Or the Vikings.
No, they need a home Monday night game, and they don't get that this year.
They don't have that.
Yeah.
They get Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, Star Lotulelei, and Kawan Short. How many Panthers can I name on defense? There's four.
Okay. Last note. Cardinals. Arizona's got a chance to get off to a nice start at Detroit, at Indianapolis, home against Dallas. Dallas has potentially a really bad secondary. They lost a lot. We'll see how that plays out.
And their pass rush still isn't solved.
Right. And then San Francisco. So at Detroit, at Indianapolis, Dallas, and yep. San Francisco, that's a nice-looking start for Arizona.
Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. If you're really waiting on a quarterback, really waiting, that's the guy.
Beautiful. Love it.
How about some DSTs real quick?
Hit me with it.
Steelers, week one at Cleveland, week two, Minnesota, week three at Chicago, week four at Baltimore, week five, Jacksonville. Mm. That's the Heath Cummings, Blake Bortles strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And week six at Kansas City. So maybe they run out of steam by the game against Kansas City, but that's a nice schedule for that DST to begin the year. The Bills have the Jets week one, at Carolina week two. It's kind of iffy. And then Denver week three.
Yeah. All right, that is good stuff. I love Steelers' early schedule there for that DST.
Yeah.
They might have a good defense. You never know. You never know. So it's time for emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Earlier today, Jamie on Twitter tweeted that we're giving away a spot in the podcast league. We have a new sweepstakes, Jamie.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess I can tell everybody about it. So
many will enter, few will win.
Read the email first.
Yeah. All right. Here's the email.
This is the spawn of this contest.
Minneapolis Mike from St. Paul, Minnesota. What? How are you Minneapolis Mike if you're from St. Paul? Forget it. Contest over. This guy's a liar. Fake news. I am a longtime listener that could have been a friend of Tim from Irvine. And I wanted to ask, and that's for all you diehards out there. I wanted to ask all listeners to help Jamie come up with a new outro each episode instead of his usual bye. I'd rather listen to a poorly played saxophone. Even Dave has surpassed Jamie last week with a strong later. That one made me do a cartwheel in the office. From now until the season starts, all listeners end their emails with a new phrase for Jamie to utter at the end of each podcast. Jamie can pick a listener favorite each podcast and reveal his new outro sign-off that he will use for 2017 week one. I don't know, for the rest of the season or whatever. And then, I don't know, this was interesting. Minneapolis Mike says, I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so much. I can't take the current outro any longer. I may have to stop eating PB&J in protest. We don't want him to do that. So what do you think, Jamie? I don't think this is not going to be a season-long thing here, but what would you like to propose for a podcast league contest?
Well, look, if it's funny enough, we could do it during the season. But I think what we'll do is our loyal listeners, which they are the best, can submit entries between now and let's say Adam's wedding. So they have a month.
Okay.
So the weekend of Adam's wedding is when the contest will end. We'll say July 7th is when the contest will end. The best outro to use for when the show is over.
Yeah, but are you going to use this for the entire season? Because alternatively...
We'll make that decision based on how funny it is.
Alternatively, you could do this every episode. You could just say a new one.
Oh, no, I'm going to use them.
Okay.
I will use the entries as we go along.
Okay, good.
But the best one will be the winner in our next winner to an entry in our podcast league.
Okay, great. So email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And I think it's great because I'm just going to be in anticipation for an hour every show of what Jamie's going to sign off with. I'm very much looking forward to
it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. And I don't think you have to put anything special in the subject line. Just write us an email with a question, and I think Jamie will go through them and just kind of look at the outros. I'll look at the rest.
Just put something like in the email, like outro colon or contest entry colon, something that it's notable.
Yeah, but also if you have a fantasy question, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's go to Matt from somewhere in southern Ontario, Canada. Very specific, Dave.
The Tim Hortons at southern Ontario, Canada.
Oh, okay. Hey, McMaster, Ryerson, and Brock.
It's not even close.
I don't know who that is. I Googled it. I'm not sure if those are like, national security people. Then I know one of them. If not, I have no idea who you're talking about. We keep discussing the uncertainty of Amir Abdullah's upcoming season. I have to ask, did anyone see what I saw last year during the playoffs and the last two games leading up to the playoffs? I guess he means the fantasy playoffs. Zach Zenner came out of nowhere. He looked incredible and passed the eyeball test. Could Zach Zenner take over this Detroit backfield?
The same Zach Zenner that averaged 3.8 yards per carry last year?
Not buying it. I'm sure he had some short yardage stuff in there.
Well, I think you're right. And toward the end of the season, his last two games, 3 touchdowns on the ground and averaged about 4 yards per carry. His last two games, I have it right here. 32 carries, 136 yards. That's 4.3 yards per carry. 3 touchdowns plus 6 catches. Is that more just about him getting an opportunity to get a decent amount of work when no one else in Detroit could do anything? I think he's just going to have a great training camp in order for him to kind of crack into the Abdullah Riddick wall.
That, I think that's also why they signed Matt Asiata, was to compete with Zach Zenner and Dwayne Washington for that big back role as well. They didn't bring anybody to compete with Abdullah or Riddick.
This email is from Andrew. Where's Andrew from?
Andrew is from Carrollton, Maryland.
Okay, no, he's not. Andrew actually emailed us on Tuesday. He says, thank you for reading my question on Tuesday's podcast about Davante Adams. Dave was correct. I am a Pittsburgh native. Dave has a gift.
Congratulations. What did I say? He was from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you said he was from Pittsburgh. I scoffed.
And he's a Pittsburgh native? I knew that. Like, I know Andrew from Pittsburgh.
But then, remember, I, like, scoffed at it, and you were like, what are you scoffing? And then Heath said Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Yeah, I didn't say Pittsburgh, Kansas. No. I meant Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And you were right. Clearly. All right, now real email from Kevin in Flood City, Pennsylvania. Dear Jim, Janice, Jimmy, and Kurt. Or is that Giannis? I don't know.
What? Janice.
Who the hell is this?
You don't know? You don't know?
No.
Oh, turn in your rock and roll card right now, Adam Azer.
Jim.
Turn in your rock and roll card right now.
Janice Joplin?
Yes.
Jimi Hendrix?
Yes.
Jim Morrison?
Yes.
And Kurt Van Houten?
No.
Milhouse's dad?
No. Okay. Kurt Henning.
I wanted to get your thoughts on our scoring system. We have a full point per reception league, so PPR, plus full point per complete. Are you reading this email? Every time instead of per, he wrote the word person. So it says full point person reception league.
He's got a little autofill action going on.
Full point person completion league. So PPR and point per completion. But here's the catch.
As opposed to those half people walking around.
Yeah.
People like feet to waist. No body, no shoulders, no head.
Here's a cool little twist
that's,
on the
that's
league.
That's a half point person.
Running backs only get receiving points for catches and yardage if they're in your flex. That's interesting. So if you want PPR and receiving yardage for running backs to count, you have to flex the running back. What do you think about that?
I kind of think it's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is unfair to running backs that you start in the normal running back slot.
Dave is outraged.
Well, but it lets you know how you have to set your lineup. I don't even know if it makes that much of a difference. If I've got in this point person league, if I've got Danny Woodhead, Rob Kelly, and Spencer Ware, I know which one I'm starting in the flex.
Your team stinks.
My team might not be so good, but my receivers are awesome.
What about point per completion leagues, guys? How much does that change your strategy, point per completion?
Well, I mean, it's almost the equivalent of like a two quarterback league, how much you have to prioritize quarterbacks there.
Do you?
Yeah.
Isn't that something that helps all quarterbacks across the board? It might make some a little more valuable than others. It might weed out, you know, Cam Newton's not going to have as many completions.
Russell Wilson's not going to be as good.
Yeah, right. So there's some examples of guys that won't make it.
Jameis not going to be as good.
I don't think I'm taking a quarterback in round one. I think I'm still waiting for a quarterback in a point per completion league.
See, I always struggle with that because yes, it does help the quarterbacks across the board. You just have to wonder, you have to be more concerned about Dak Prescott, who had 311 completions last year, which is pretty low. But at the same, not to say that won't go up, but you know what I'm saying. At the same time, quarterbacks, they're always the highest scoring players on your team. But right. Now it's a bigger chunk. Now it's a bigger percentage of your overall score.
But it's not something that affects a handful of quarterbacks. You know, this doesn't. It's like being in a league where you get 3 points for a passing touchdown, but 6 points if your quarterback runs one in.
Yeah, but last year Drew Brees completed 70 more passes than Aaron Rodgers.
Brees would be number one.
Brees is a first round pick in my opinion in this league.
Yes.
I don't know if there are any others, but
Brady.
Oh yeah, yes.
Luck.
All right, so I'm waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm giving up 70 points.
No one's going to let Rodgers get out of the first round in that league either.
I'm still waiting for a quarterback in that league. It helps all.
It does. It does. But it's almost like saying PPR helps all wide receivers, so right. We shouldn't draft them earlier, but we do in PPR. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult kind of philosophical answer. They're definitely going to get pushed up. Whether they should or not, they definitely will. From Blake, with the Jets cleaning house, would it be good to prioritize their matchups when looking at streaming options? And I don't think that just means the DSTs. Like, you're starting everybody against the Jets, right? Except, what about their run defense? I still think they're going to have a very talented defensive line.
I mean, David Harris not being there is going to hurt. Darren Lee's got to really step up and play big.
But the D-line, assuming they keep it intact, should still be... It should still be solid, but you do have to wonder if they eventually kind of lose interest.
Oh, yeah. Their
team is just so
terrible.
Bad.
From Thomas,
how many wins do you think they could end up with?
Three.
I gave them three.
Yeah, at the most. Okay, Thomas. Where's Thomas from?
Thomas is from Snowmass, Colorado.
Can I just bring up a point real quick?
Yeah.
So the Dolphins in 2015 had one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. And one of the worst linebacking corps, and they were terrible against the run.
Yep.
You could scheme against a good defensive line.
I just also, can I bring up another point, counterpoint? I don't think David Harris was that good anymore.
Well, didn't he get banged up?
Potentially.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how many games.
I mean, they were 11th against the run last year.
Right, and they were a little banged up on the defensive line too, and they had a suspension at the start of the season, right? All this from memory.
Oh, was Sheldon Richardson suspended?
I think it was Sheldon Richardson, yeah.
Yeah, and Muhammad Wilkerson was terrible.
Right.
It was really just Leonard Williams was playing by himself.
Yeah, but Muhammad Wilkerson was coming off a serious leg injury. He says he's, you know, back to where he needs to be, so.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe the first 4 or 5 games when they're still somewhat competitive, once they get, you know, into the throes of the season when they're terrible, what's the motivation for those guys?
No.
Paycheck. That's about it.
They get paid the same. Once the season starts.
Next paycheck. Honestly, I will be one thing I'm very interested in seeing if they still will have a good run defense because they've got the players up front, but there's nothing else going for the
Jets. That linebacking core is bad.
Sure. From Thomas. Hey, standard PPR and half point PPR. That's what he wrote. 14-team PPR, in the 10th round, I selected Adam Thielen as my fourth wide receiver. In the 15th round, I selected Michael Floyd. Azer strategy?
No. You drafted a receiver who should be pretty good as a bench receiver for your team, a good bye week replacement with potential to finish as a number three, and a guy who might not make the roster.
This is actually more of the Dave Richards strategy of like two late
fart?
Round picks.
Oh.
What was that noise?
I don't know. I didn't hear a noise.
Oh, did he?
No.
Come on, Dave.
You farted, didn't you?
I did not.
Why you look like that?
Why do I look like what? Look at you. Wait a minute. You're the one who's turning red.
That face you're making right now?
I'm not making a face right now. Adam, you can see me. Am I making a face right now?
Yeah, you kind of are, but I think you're just laughing. So
I've had an upset stomach all day. I think it was the coffee.
So you're confirming that you did?
No, no, no. I think... all right, a little peek behind the curtain.
No, it's okay.
Very frequently, my stomach will make noise. Jamie hears the stomach make noise. It's not picked up by the mics, but we still hear it. And every time my stomach rumbles, like I give Jamie a look, Jamie gives me a look, he smiles. It's just like a funny thing. And I guess he thinks I just farted when it was my stomach just making more noise.
And we have our five-minute segment to send off for the contest.
Yeah, they're very good. Thank you, guys. okay, this is did we answer this question? Yeah, Dave likes taking two wide receivers on the same team late, so that's more of the Dave strategy. 10th round and 15th round in a 14-team league. That
I won't
work.
Do that every time.
You don't do it
every time. I don't think that's a strategy of mine.
Okay. Just trying to give you a strategy, you know, like the friendship strategy. And last email is from John from a city that's the home of the Walleye EHL hockey team. Okay. Dear Bert, Ray, Judy, and Jack. Bert, Ray, Judy, and Jack. Wizard of Oz actors, that would be.
Oh, everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a
classic. A timely reference.
It's a throwback, yeah.
My wife tried to show Wizard of Oz to my children, who are the ages of 5 and 2. And the 5-year-old was interested, but the 2-year-old, I was in the other room writing the story about Eric Decker's release and Tyreek Hill's and Jeremy Macklin's release. And, I hear the 2-year-old screaming, "This movie stinks!"
A timely reference from our friend in Toledo.
Doesn't appreciate the classic. So here's the question from John. Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. After them, which rookie wide receiver will make the biggest impact this year?
Well, I think if there's two that come to mind for me. If Jeremy Macklin does not go to Buffalo, Zay Jones has a great opportunity. Just exactly what Dave said about Macklin's chances there, especially if Sammy Watkins can't stay healthy. And Kenny Golladay. I mean, he's stepping into a role that scored, I think it was 8 touchdowns last year for Anquan Boldin. Marvin Jones may not be very good, as we saw after week 2 last year. And Golden Tate is tiny. Eric Ebron hasn't exactly been productive. Golladay could have a big role as that big play threat, especially in the red zone for the Lions.
Yeah, he could definitely change things for them. I would add Tywan Taylor into that mix in Tennessee. He could end up being their starting slot receiver. He's impressed. And I believe it's Cooper Kupp.
Yep, and Josh.
Who's ahead of Josh.
Both guys.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's Kupp ahead of Josh right now in L.A. with the Rams.
Cool.
And now our Darius Stewart. He's got a good opportunity with the Jets. Mm-hmm.
All right, lovely. And what about Juju Smith-Schuster?
Good receiver on a team with great receivers.
They're putting him in the slot, which, you know, based on where they're all going to line up, especially without a tight end of note there, you could see if he's on the field a lot, you know, replacing Eli Rogers as a slot guy, that would be great for him.
Yep. Unfortunately, he's a USC wide receiver, and they are,
you know, I feel about them.
Guaranteed NFL draft busts. Guaranteed. So, we're going to finish the show. We're raising the roof, raising the stakes. I suggest that raisins go well with anything. And then today somebody said, what about soup? And that made me think, maybe not soup. But I still like, all they are, is they're just like a sweet little treasure that you put in your food. Like, they're amazing. And I think people are on my side with this one, actually. I think I'm winning this battle.
Raisins in your soup?
I don't know about soups. That's different.
That's what got my attention, is that you said you would try. Someone suggested putting raisins in French onion soup.
I would try it. I would absolutely.
You know,
try
there's
it.
A lot of fruit soups that you could put raisin in.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about raisins in a French
fruit
onion
soups?
Soup?
Yeah. I don't know anything.
You never heard about fruit soups?
No.
Oh.
I've heard about ice cream soup.
I've had watermelon soup before.
That doesn't sound so bad.
I'm trying to think of any other ones I've
seedless
had.
Or with seeds?
Raisins. That's probably the only soup that I think you do. We just got a very insulting tweet to the two of you.
What?
Today is National VCR Day, with a picture of a VHS tape with the U on it, and says the day when Miami fans watch games from the last time they were relevant.
Oh, that's not cool. But yeah, I would have needed a VCR for that. They were fairly relevant last year. But so wait, here's the thing about soup. As I transition from raisins to soup, you go to a restaurant with friends, or like you guys go out with couples or whatever. Maybe not anymore. I don't know. But if you order a soup instead of a salad, I would feel like a fat ass. Like, I feel like it's such bad table manners. It's almost like eating a bunch of bread. Like, you're supposed to have a salad. I don't know. I feel like it's bad etiquette to get soup instead of salad. And I don't agree with that. I think it's a stigma that I don't agree with.
Since we're talking about timely references of VCR tapes, is soup a meal?
It can be. It's how big, depending how big it is. Like salad.
I think there's a steak soup wrestling in my stomach right now that would say that it's a meal.
I mean, you farted before. That was crazy.
I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe Dave, because he'd own up to it. I would never.
I don't care if you did.
For the record, I would never own up to it. But all right, so this conversation's going nowhere, guys. I thought we'd have a nice little raisin / soup.
It's disgusting. Raisins and soup sounds disgusting.
The raisins are great.
Raisins are great. Soup is great.
Yeah. Now, final
don't
thing.
Combine them.
Can you just eat a box of raisins?
Oh yeah. Yogurt covered raisins are amazing.
Then
yes.
Why?
Perfect. Yes.
Why do people dog me for loving raisinettes?
Huh?
No one should.
I didn't hear
they're
you.
They're good. Raisinettes, the candy.
Oh, raisinettes are the best.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't think they're the best, but they're good.
Love them.
We are a pro Raisinettes podcast.
Well, who doesn't like raisins? Somebody in the baseball podcast?
Anybody eating Heath, clam chowder.
Heath doesn't really like raisins that much, and some.
But he's the weirdest person ever.
Wow, he's taking the mantle from me. That's good to know.
No, you're the dumbest person ever.
What did I do? I forgot about Tom Brady in a point per completion league. I guess that does make me the dumbest person ever. Thank you guys for the RSVPs. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you on Tuesday. We have a draft. No, we don't have a draft on next Monday. We have a draft 2 Mondays from now, so we might actually do that one.
19th.
On the
Monday, yeah. The 19th.
Big day. Big day that Monday, the 19th. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. See you later.
Bye for now.